הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה ונשמחה. הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה ונשמחה. הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה ונשמחה. הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה ונשמחה. אורו אורו אחים, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים, אורו אחים בלב שמח. Hello everybody, welcome to my new show, and this was my attempt to be a singer or star singer, but it is to reflect my Israeli background. It actually said, let's all be happy and sing a song. I'm Judge Eve, as everybody likes to call me. I'm Eve Ellingwood. I'm also known as Cohen and Sternlight. And like I said, I would like to have constitutional matters heard on the show, general legal questions, general political questions, and general spiritual questions. You can always access my website, which is www.90210holocaust.com, and I have one of my books there for sale. And I also would like very much to be an interactive show. If anybody would like to call in at any time, please feel free to call 530-413-5011 or 888-627-6008. So it's either 530-413-5011 or 888-627-6008, the latter being a free call, no matter where you're located. Let me tell you a little bit about my background. I was born in Jerusalem, which was actually Palestine at the time, and my birth certificate was in Hebrew, English, and Arabic, believe it or not. I lived under the current conditions. It's almost as if God prepared me for what was going to come to the country. And my father, even as a little girl, always told me never to forget that I was born in the city most important to the three main religions in the world, Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. I was raised with the Arabs. They had their camels going through Jerusalem. They had their donkeys. And it's so funny that this whole scene is not being replayed on the world stage. And I know that in a way God planned all of that ahead of time. I was raised in a very Orthodox Jewish home. My parents were from Poland and were lucky not to be killed in the Holocaust there, because my mother's father said he read between the lines and he thought that Hitler was going to be bad for the Jewish people. And my father's father said, my father was 17, that if he was going to serve in any army, he wanted it to be a Jewish army, so each independently moved to Palestine, and my parents met on the beach in Tel Aviv, and they just loved each other. I became a lawyer. I wanted to be a lawyer when I was 3 years old. All my life, I knew exactly what I would do. When we came to America, people said women are not supposed to be lawyers, so I took a few education classes. And even though I love to teach and have taught law, it wasn't for me. And met my then husband, and he saw how excited I was to get accepted to law school, so he started law school with me the following year. And you have to understand, I was very traditional. I always thought, you marry, you stay home, you take care of the kids. And he encouraged me to finish law school, to take the bar exam, and a whole series of events led me to having my own practice, and then becoming a judge, which I was never going to do. Four things I was never going to do. One was be a judge. One was get a computer. One was live in Las Vegas. And the fourth, never get a computer. Needless to say, I've done all of them, so never say never. Before I forget, I'd like to wish Cinco de Mayo happiness to all of you who celebrate that day of Mexican Independence Day. I do speak Spanish, so if any listener wants to call in and speak in Spanish, I'll translate for you and try to help you. I'd like also to add that I will do counseling by people contacting me on my email address. It could be either spiritual or general legal. I cannot give specific legal advice. And my email address is E-E, like two elephants, Judge Eve, that's J-U-D like David, G like George, E like elephant, E like elephant, V like Victor, E like elephant, 79 at gmail.com. So again, E-E, Judge Eve, 79 at gmail.com. And if you indicate what your problem is, and see if I can help you in any way. Let me also state that in spite of my never going to be accepting Jesus in my life, after a whole series of events, I did accept Jesus. It was really miraculous in my life. And I was anointed as a prophet. I'm also a minister. I've ministered all over the country on television and radio. And I'm a seer. God literally shows me the past, the future, inside the body. He uses me a lot for inner healing because he showed me we're all damaged property, either genetically or because of what we go through. And he actually lets me see what the disturbances are and help people that way. And I will later on have a segment for miracles. And if any of you have experienced miracles, I sure would love to hear about them and either have you on the show or talk about it if it's okay with you. I'm also, which I don't like, but I am a spiritual warrior. God literally spoke to me. I've had some amazing encounters with him. And he told me that I was to rest the land, W-R-E-S-T, with the image of an umbrella upside down. And you take the stick, you twist it, and you yank it out with the spokes. And that I was to help people and help his people rest the land out of the hands of the enemy, which is Satan. We cannot be ignorant of the wiles of the enemy, which is Satan and his demons. And what saddens me and other Christians that I've talked to is people today just go and subject themselves to any spirit out there, and they think it's wonderful. And the sad thing is Satan comes as an angel of light. He'll never say, oh, I'm the bad guy. And you really, really, really have to judge the spirits, as Jesus told us in the Bible. Interestingly, when I was a little girl, I was about 7 years old, I remember running up and down the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem. There was an amphitheater there, never knowing at the time that that was where Jesus is coming back. And he is coming back in my lifetime. I've heard it myself, and I've had other people express similar opinions. So we'll see. Let me tell you this. I was a judge for unemployment insurance cases for many, many years and got to know about every aspect of how to collect unemployment insurance, about different businesses. About 20 years ago, God spoke to me, and he told me that times are going to be very difficult in America, which was hard to believe. And look what's already happening. Unemployment is very high. We're not being told the whole truth. In fact, I heard yesterday that instead of expected higher rehiring of people, it went down substantially to about 115,000. And our economy is fake. We're not being told the truth of what's going on. I have known about concentration camps for America for over 30, 40 years. And God, actually about 15 years ago, I started seeing DVDs and tapes from other people talking about gulags in America. My parents' friends who were in concentration camps in Europe told me about 10, 15 years ago that they were seeing here now exactly what they saw in Nazi Germany before they were taken to the camps. So I'm not saying it to make people worry, but we have to hope for the best and prepare for the worst. So it's always good nowadays to have extra food, extra water, way to sterilize the water, some extra blankets, just in case. Because part of my job also would be to lead people and their property to safety. And being forewarned is being forearmed, and if you prepare now, it won't be as difficult as when the time comes. It saddens me greatly. I love America. I was very active in politics. I knew Reagan, who was one of the most wonderful presidents and persons you ever want to meet, a very humble man. In fact, his birthday was February 6th, and I was then a member of the Republican State Central Committee in California. Excuse me, and I got him just a little pen and pencil set. And we were at a reception at the governor's house, and he opened it up, and he was so touched that you'd think I'd given him gold, but that's the kind of man he really was. And we're not getting that kind of quality of people anymore, and it just breaks my heart. I myself ran for Congress about 3 years ago in the Las Vegas area, and without funds, I got about 9% of the vote. But if I ever get elected, they're not going to like me very much. I say it like it is, and I do what I have to do that is legal. Let me tell you some sad things. My brother and sister killed my parents in Beverly Hills. The names were Morris and Sarah Sternlight. They had lived 6 blocks west of the Menendez brothers. If you recall any of you, it was the ones who shot their parents in the 90s. And my parents were killed by doctors and medications like Michael Jackson and Anna Nicole Smith and many, many others. This is going on a huge scale. My life had been threatened. Every asset I've had was stolen. I've recently filed litigation. I now live in the state of Washington, and it was dismissed with prejudice, with the judge just totally being off on the evidence before him, using hearsay and unsworn testimony to substantiate his judgment, and I'm going to pursue it with an appellate procedure. And this is when I've been told that the Ninth Circuit, for those of you who don't know law, the nine western states of America are what's called the Ninth Circuit. It's a very corrupt body. Not all the judges, but the heads of it are corrupt. And I was told ahead of time that people didn't want to do anything or correct what was going on with me because they will win in the Ninth Circuit. So this, too, has to be exposed and corrected. The way I've been persecuted, I've been injected with chemicals and poisons, dentists telling me I would lose all my teeth, putting chemicals on my gums and lost 12 teeth like in 2 weeks approximately. My condo, we're in a doubly secure community, was repeatedly burglarized. Human feces was thrown on my balcony, on my car repeatedly. And my phone, telephone, fax, computer, and mail were constantly monitored and affected. This, as a prophet, prophets often live ahead of time what will happen to other people. And because God spoke to me about 30 years ago, I was able to withstand it all. He told me that the Jewish people will persecute me as the Brotherhood persecuted Joseph in the Bible, and then they will come to me for help. So now I'm saying, God, the first half happened, let the second half happen. I'm telling you all of this to let you know that I haven't had a life of comfort, although I would have liked to, that I have to fight for what is right, and not only for myself, but for all of you out there as well. And also to let you know that I welcome conflicting beliefs and points of view, because in America, at least still, we're able to state what we feel, unlike so many other countries. So I do welcome your calls. Again, if you'd like to know the number, either 530-413-5011 or 888-627-6008. Again, it's 530-413-5011 or 888-627-6008. And you're welcome to call at any time. I welcome it. And in fact, what I would like to do, if any of you have any issues that you would like have discussed, either email me or call during a show, and let's get something going that will help everybody. God has used me amazingly in healing people, physical healing. A story I like to tell, I was going to save it for a miracle segment, but let me tell you, a friend was in Los Angeles. I was living in Las Vegas at the time, where I was never going to live, right? And they said the daughter, who had broken up with a boyfriend, threatened to kill herself and took her sleeping pills and disappeared, and nobody knew where she was. I was in my apartment in Las Vegas, and, you know, Jesus turned water to wine, so I figured why not neutralize whatever she took. And as I'm praying, I'm commanding her not to be able to close her eyes, and that whatever she took would be neutralized. And every half hour I called, and they hadn't found her. I saw where she was. I saw the bedspread, the curtains. I knew it was a hotel, but I couldn't quite read the street sign, if that makes sense. The next morning, her brother found her, rushed her to the hospital, and she was okay. About 4 months later, I got to talk to her, and I said, tell me what happened. She said, I had taken 179 sleeping pills, and I couldn't even close my eyes. I said, I know. And when they pumped her stomach, they found nothing there. So we all have that power in Christ to do amazing, amazing miracles. You know, we use barely, 6 to 8 or 8 to 10% of our brain. They now call the babies born since about 1995 to the present, they call them millennium babies, because I heard a doctor say they're coming in with much greater usage of their brain. In fact, in China, they had people going to a theater, and each one was given a rose petal, you know, closed up, and they all sat in the theater, and they told the people to be quiet, and a little child, a six-year-old child, came out, and he concentrated, and all the rose petals opened up at the same time. Then they put a vitamin bottle next to the child with a pill outside the bottle. They told everybody to be quiet. The child concentrated, and the vitamin pill went inside the bottle, just like Beam Me Up, Scotty, in the original Star Trek. And it's funny, when I used to see that show, I used to think, it's not science fiction, it's what we're supposed to do. This is what we were made to do. You know, Jesus walked through walls, which means that his body particles became smaller than the wall particles. You know, things that seem solid are not solid. Even physics people will tell you that. And everything constantly circulates. So what if we could teletransport from one place to the other like that? Or if we're in danger and we're able to disappear? I've been made invisible twice. What if we need to be made invisible, not to be harmed? I think we all need to be aware of the potential that we have. I had a dear, dear friend tell me one time that the brain had more power in it than any nuclear bomb that's ever been exploded. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what we could do with that? We can make plants grow faster. We can have food grow bigger. We can dry land. Look what Moses did when he took the Israelites in the Red Sea. He didn't do it. God did it. But he had the power to call it in. We, with God, have powers that we haven't even imagined. And part of my job, what I like to do, is to find out what people's gifts are and to help them develop it. If each one of us would just do the best that we have in us, what a wonderful world we would have. And then we could easily overcome the bad side, which is not people necessarily, it's demons. And you need to know that demons occupy people, they cause them to behave in weird ways, and we have to not let that happen. We have to stand guard. You know, the Bible tells us that wherever Satan abounds, God raises up a standard in front of him, and we're to help raise that standard up. I cannot begin to tell you how important it is, especially in this day and age, and what God has shown me. Because we're being led in this country to communism. I'm a huge reader, by the way, and read quite a few books about what went on in Russia and how it became communist. And it was Lenin and Trotsky who helped take it communist. Lenin loved to kill people. Stalin killed like 60 million people. And then they stole all the money from the country. This is what's happening to America now. David Axelrod, who ran Obama's campaign, is a grandson, a great-grandson of Leon Trotsky, and putting in these same attitudes in this country. When I filed my litigation, I filed also against the Federal Reserve System. It's not federal, it's private. It was put in underhandedly and secretly, like 2 days before Christmas, in 1913, I believe it was. And after Wilson, the then president, was bribed and threatened. This is how they operate. They threaten, they bribe, just like regular organized crime. And with me, I mean, my life has been threatened already. If I disappear, everybody would know why. But I'm also very protected, and I know I have to be here for as long as God wants me to do his work. And I sure would love to see you all participate in that. We're going to take a short break right now, and please stay there, and we'll be right back. Hello again. Thank you for being there, and thank you for listening to the break. And again, if you want to call in, the numbers here are either area code, I guess you have to dial 1 first, and then 530-413-5011, or 1-888-627-6008. So So it's either 530-413-5011 or 888-627-6008. Sure would love to hear from you. Any comments you have, any questions you have, I'd like to be able to address them for you. So anyway, to continue with the story, I don't like to do it, but I've been made a spiritual warrior because I guess at the age of 12, I had military training in Israel. At the time, they selected two girls and two boys from the eighth grade to be trained in summer camp to be able to lead their ninth grade class into military training. And I mean, we had to run every morning. We stayed in tents. We had to take care of the tent. We had to go to chow. And thank God for me anyway, we didn't use guns because I've seen people injured during the war in Jerusalem. The thing that amazes me, by the way, I was in Jerusalem before the road to Jerusalem broke through with food. We were under siege. There was also what's called curfew. I didn't know that was an English word, but anybody who stayed outside after 6 o'clock in the evening just got shot. We had no water, and the way we'd get water, there would be trucks of water coming and giving the water to the people. And one of our neighbors got shot during one of those parades, so I don't like guns. We lived across the way from an English police station who were just shooting at our building anytime they felt like it. And my father had to put a lead plate and bags of sand in front of the balcony door so at least to have some protection. He would work in his furniture store in the daytime, and at night he would have military duty. And my brother and I and other kids in the building, we collected casings of bullets, like people here collect baseball cards. Like in the back of them, they had colored circles, either red or blue or green. And a red was worth like 5 greens, and a green was worth like 5 blues. And it's just amazing what kids do, no matter what the situation is. You make the most of it. We didn't even have enough food for a family of 4. My mother, under gunfire, would get us a quarter of a round bread for a whole week. If we saw eggs, it was a miracle. If we saw chicken, it was a miracle. So I know how to live under tough conditions. My parents pulled me out of that camp before it was finished because they thought we were coming to the United States, and ended up waiting another year, and I didn't get the ranks as such. But at least I had the training. And the training was you do whatever you have to do, no matter how you feel, because you have to accomplish a certain duty. And that's what really built Little Israel, which really was helped by angels. The many, many, many stories by Jewish people, Jewish soldiers, who, you know, they would be all alone. And all of a sudden they'd see a bullet come straight to their forehead and straight up. They knew that angels were there deflecting the bullets. I cannot believe how much God really watches over that little country, even though they've hurt me too. My parents, let me tell you, one of the things I can teach about is elder abuse that's very rampant in America. What's happening, my parents were killed by doctors and medication. And same, as I said, like Michael Jackson and Anna Nicole Smith. The most horrible thing as well was that no matter what will or trust they had, lawyers helped forge those documents. They just took pages out and changed them. And I have never, never seen such legal and judicial corruption as I've seen in this case. And I've come to learn that it's happening to thousands of people. And I'd like to warn you, you know, if you have a relative and being isolated from other people and you're not allowed to visit them or call them, and there's just someone standing at the door, don't let them do it. You complain to authorities. You do whatever you have to do to make sure they're protected. We cannot have a country. They say in South America they do it all the time. Well, we're not South America. We're the United States of America. And we're to honor the law, because if we don't, then why bother? Why bother stay at a traffic light? Let everybody just drive wherever they want. Why not take whatever you want from anybody else? If there's no law, a society falls apart. So that is why I cannot give specific legal advice, but I can give general advice. And let me go back a little bit to the unemployment insurance, because there's such a large number of people are unemployed. What they're not telling us is about all the numbers of people who've stopped looking for work because they can't get any. For every job, there's so many more applicants than they've ever had before that people are just not getting work. And if you notice, too, we're not getting the high-level employment. You know, so many of technical positions have been taken over to Mexico and China, and I love Mexico and I love China. But we've got to take care of our people here first. And there's so many regulations, and if you knew what I know about who's really running the world, it would just really upset you. And part of my job is to expose it and hopefully to do something about it. But when somebody becomes unemployed, they think they can just go to the unemployment office and collect unemployment benefits. Well, they should go to the unemployment office and file their claim, or I think now it's being done by telephone, but there's certain laws that apply. For example, if somebody quits a job, they cannot just quit and say, well, I want my unemployment benefits. They have to show what is called good cause, which is a legal terminology, and it means something compelling, not a personal reason, for leaving their work. If they say, I just want to quit because I want to stay home, it's not going to be considered good cause. If they say a doctor advised them to quit because leave of absence would not solve the problem, then that could be good cause. If somebody's fired, they think, oh, well, I'm fired, I'm entitled to unemployment benefits. No, that's not the case. They have to show that it's not for misconduct. And usually it's an employer who has to prove misconduct, which could be a whole range of things. It could be repeated tardinesses after warnings. It could be theft. Theft is automatic misconduct. It doesn't pay. It really doesn't pay to steal, no matter what. And if you believe in God as I do, you don't want to steal. And if you hurt another employee, if people use drugs at work, those could be items of misconduct. So you need to know that. You need to know also that you don't just automatically continue to collect benefits. You have to show that you're actively seeking work, looking for work. There are all kinds of requirements to be complied with, and each state is different, but general rules are, I think you have to show that you're actively seeking work, that you're available for work. You know, there are many people who just go on vacation during their unemployment. Well, if it's found out that they didn't tell the truth, they would be assessed a false statement penalty and then have to pay back whatever benefits they had gotten. So it's not a good idea not to tell the truth on those documents, especially since they're being signed under penalty of perjury. And from unemployment insurance cases, if somebody is denied and they feel they have a good case, they can appeal it. And the appeal process is where it would come to my level of hearings. And then they can take it all the way to the state Supreme Court and then take it all the way up the federal chain of courts to the United States Supreme Court. So every little case is important. Every item of evidence is important. Usually people don't get lawyers in unemployment insurance cases. They may have a union representative. Businesses may have business representatives, although in the past, I would say 25 years, there have been more and more lawyers because wrongful discharge suits, lawsuits started to come into being, and people use the unemployment insurance hearing to establish evidence for their other cases. So the law is fascinating. I mean, I love being a lawyer, and I love being a judge, and really did what I love doing is to, you know, study people, see what they're really thinking, and then apply the law to facts as I understood them. What people don't realize is that a judge's inclination often affects their judgment, and real good judges don't allow their personal feelings or beliefs to affect their judgment. I saw the opposite. I'm very conservative, and I was in an office that was all union, and they just befriended the union, and they actually would hear their own children's cases. I couldn't believe that was going on. And they tried to make me conform to their union friends, and I said, no way, you don't like what I do? Appeal it. So I was like a thorn in their side, and again, maybe trained for what I would have to do later on, because God really does show me things way ahead of time. In fact, many years ago, I saw this huge right hand, I saw the palm, and I saw a gray blanket, and that hand blanket and I saw the world like a globe, you know, like the TV show As the World Turns. And on the edge of the globe at the top, there were like outlines of buildings, one next to the other, like you see in New York. And as the globe turned towards me, as the world turned towards me, then I started seeing doors and windows. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, I show you things way ahead of time in general outlines. But as the time gets closer, then I show you the details. I fill in the details. And I have to tell you that has happened again and again and again. When I would minister to people, you know, and I would say things to them and say, oh, no, not me. I don't know where you got that from. And then they'd find me out a month later, a year later, say, remember you said? And usually I didn't remember. But they told me that what I had said had happened. A little illustration comes to mind. I was in a Black ladies' prayer breakfast. And there were three white people, myself, a guy, and a girl next to him. And you have to understand, a prophet is not always very courteous. We have to say what we have to say when we're led to say it of God. And out of my mouth comes, the two of you are going to get married. And he looked at me, and I knew he understood that. She got so mad at me, she wouldn't talk to me the rest of the breakfast. About a year later, I was asked to speak at a ladies' breakfast, and the president said, oh, there's a couple here to see you. I said, oh, okay. And sure enough, with that man and the girl, they had gotten married about 3 months after the breakfast, and she told me she was going through a divorce at the time, and she just couldn't think of anything else. And now the two of them got married, and they have a ministry, because when I would minister, God would often show me which couples to pray for. And with a very specific way, I was to anoint their foreheads, their right hand for the hand of authority, the left hand for the hand of compassion, the right foot for the foot of authority, the left foot for the foot of compassion. And when they together, then the husband's right hand would be the hand of authority, the wife's left hand would be the hand of compassion, and the same with the feet. And God would show me what their ministry would be. And I cannot tell you how many people had called me up afterwards and said, oh, what you said exactly happened. And how did you know? I don't know how I know. I just know the Holy Spirit reveals things, because nothing is hidden from the Holy Spirit or from God. You know, it's really funny. The Jewish people, which I knew, just hate me. I'm a traitor, and especially, I guess, because I'm born in Jerusalem. And the whole thing with my parents' murder happened, I was told specifically, was because I was on Trinity Broadcasting Network. And being a judge, my former name was Cohen, which is Jewish, and being born in Jerusalem, and I dared talk about my belief in Jesus, got to have very high-level corrupt people in Beverly Hills help my brother and sister kill my parents, which, by the way, again, is being done on a hugely large scale. You have no idea how many people I've met and talked to that their money's just disappeared. One of my mother's nurses, after we saved her from my sister, she had killed my dad, and, well, I'll get to that in a minute. But anyway, the nurse said that her mother had a business in Beverly Hills. She sold it for $5 million. She made the state of California trustee, and the money disappeared. She went to a lawyer, and he said, all you can do is file for bankruptcy. She said, okay, and all she got at the end was $40,000. That is a crime. I can tell you from my experience, knowing my legal rights, I went to every legal authority I could think of for all that's been done to me. They didn't do a thing. So what do we need them for, right? Our country's so much in debt. Let's get rid of all the law enforcement agencies and all the judges and save a lot of money and help the people instead. Unbelievable what is going on in the world. Unbelievable. And we really have to stand up to it and stop it, because the people who are involved in doing it to their parents or older friends, they're going to have the same thing done to them. One of the stories, my sister sold my mother's house from under her in Beverly Hills in a way that was a conflict of interest, because she was a real estate broker. And you're not allowed to make a commission when you're a co-trustee, which she was with me and my mother, of my parents' trust, the Sternlight Family Trust. Nothing was done about it. My parents had an accountant for over 20 years. He got his commission because he was also in real estate, selling the house and then buying a condo for my mother, which she hated. She felt like she was in a prison. And again, nothing was done about it. When the district attorney in Los Angeles did prosecute my sister, she was convicted of felony financial elder abuse. Nothing was done about the murders, not against her nor against my brother, because this corrupt group immediately tried to run a city councilman, a Jewish city councilman, against the district attorney. And he just didn't want to lose his job. This is how they work. They threaten. They have a lot of money. The corrupt Jewish people, I will tell you about Chabad in a minute, they think that non-Jews are cattle and it's okay to kill them and steal from them. And I'm sorry, but that's not the God that I know, not even the Jewish God that I know. My grandparents were very Orthodox. They would never kill and steal. So there's a lot of really organized crime activity going on in this country, which is what I alleged in my lawsuit, and it's ignored because I think those judges, too, are being threatened, and they're concerned for their lives. So those of you who pray, I covet your prayers to help me just uncover everything that needs to be uncovered, because God did speak to me that they will come to me for help. So since the first half happened, I'm waiting for the second half to happen. We'll see how it comes about. We're going to take another short break at this time, and thank you so much for being with me, and I sure would love to hear from you all. Hi again. We're back from break, and I understand Tommy's on the line. Tommy?
Yes. First time I've caught you here. Very interesting. You incited a bunch of stuff coming up out of me here, and I had to give you a call.
Thank you.
Yes. You have a pretty. I'm not in the legal business, okay? But
yes.
I kind of understand in another way what's going on here. To lend a little clarity to this monster of a mess that you're talking about.
Oh, good, good.
And,
I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, just my perspective, my viewpoint from what I've been able to put together here, and because I've asked the bigger questions and tried to get the bigger answers, because it's rather confusing, this life we have.
You got it.
And I was asking myself, you know, what's wrong with this picture, the whole picture?
Yes.
Let me ask you this. Do you know how, just to have a little conversation here for a second if you had time, but
yes.
It's not a short subject, you know, but anyway.
Take your time.
I'm sorry?
I said, go ahead, take your time, is what I was saying. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, okay, thank you. The question was, growing up, you know, they say there's a God, you know,
yes.
Okay? God is great, God is good, God loves us, God loves you. Wonderful. It's all wonderful.
Yes.
But then, why is it in life, as we're growing up, you know, there seems to be a condescending nature to it, a persecuting type of nature, a contemptuous nature, like the judge in a courtroom looking down his nose at you, like you did something wrong.
Yes.
This is the feeling I had throughout my whole life growing up.
Oh,
yes,
no.
There's a God, oh, you know, and God loves us and all this and a bag of chips. But why is it that our authority figures in life, our parents, our whole society and civilization is sort of treating us in this contemptuous type of nature? It didn't feel right at all.
You're right. You're right. Do you want me to give you some sort of an answer?
Or
go ahead, please.
No, I know the answer.
Oh, okay. Oh, no. Go ahead, then. I'd like to hear it. Yes.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And all quite very simple, yet complicated, you know. And I'm not going to bore you with any long stories, but it's not a boring story. But anyway, you know,
let me make a comment while you do that. Any arrogance or pride, you know, the Bible tells us pride comes before the fall. It's because the world is not controlled by Satan and his minions. It's not God. God is coming back, you know, to me in my thinking by way of Jesus. But the people that you're describing are not godly people. They're people who do not follow God.
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sure. I totally understand. There's the dark and the light in this aspect we're living here, and you're right. That is a dark aspect. That is, if you want to call it the devil, evil, it's negative, it's dark, it's not positive. The
right.
God force, the universe that created everything, that loves all its creation, would not put a proclivity in its own creation to undermine itself for sabotage, for its own destruction.
Yes,
something
a very
is
good
wrong
point.
With this picture.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So, what is wrong? Well, it's a long story, but a fun story, but let me just get to more the general. Is the government is a corporation. You know this.
Yes.
The USA is a corporation. And so this is why it's nothing personal, why they control families out in the street, break families apart if you miss a few payments on your mortgage. Why is this that they could just break and say, oh, I was just doing my job. Sorry, ma'am, we had to throw your family and take your house, okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And like reckless abandon, like, oh, well. And then, you know, the next guy, he would say, well, look, you know, why don't you come over to my house for dinner and I'll feed you guys. You know,
yeah.
Give you some dinner since you're homeless now.
Right.
Oh, how nice. But see, nobody knows what's going on here because it's trickery. It's,
exactly.
It's mimicking. And so the corporation, like the mafia, the government is simply to control the people. The word government, govern means control, and menta meant government, menta means mind. It's mind control.
Interesting.
So
I never heard that before. Yeah, go ahead, Tommy.
So from 1913 to about 1919, after the Federal Reserve was formed, these Illuminati, the ones running the world, constructed a fiction language. They put a fiction language together to get over on the people so they could make their little money changer game work with the language, with the use of the language.
Right.
When you see the word order, pay to the order of on your bank check,
mm-hmm.
they don't use Webster Dictionary. They gave that for us to use. So the word order, anytime you see the word order, it actually means contract. They have to contract with the people. Because the people, after 1933, excuse me, when they took away the substance, the gold that was backing the money,
right.
They had to give the people a remedy, but they didn't tell them what that remedy was, so they could do the fractional reserve banking and monetize the people, because the remedy was that they took away the substance, but they made the people appear to be the debtors when they were the creditors of this nation. And the remedy was just simple paperwork. Because there was no longer any money of any substance to pay your debts at law. It was designed under the legalism, which just because a thing is legal does not make it lawful. They simply used taken mafia's tactics and made them into legalism because they work so well.
And you know, it's so funny you say all of that because... go ahead, please.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I really appreciate you saying it. I've never heard it from that aspect, but I'm very, very knowledgeable in these areas. And what you're saying confirms what I've known and now what I've experienced in my life. So you're absolutely right. And that's why the people have to rise.
People.
Yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. It's not many people going to grasp this right away. It's a monster, but interesting. But once you know it, it's powerful. It is powerful what's going on here. It's interesting. But anyway, there's nothing to fight. You must cease fighting everything and everyone. And because it's a fiction corporation. And we are real live people. We're not a person. It's language. And they've tricked us. The word order means contract. Anytime you see
Heard that before, Tommy. What is your background? You sound so educated.
Yes.
Pardon me?
Look, I'm just an artist of sorts, okay?
Yes, the very smart
and,
one.
you know, we could yes. talk later, but I'd love to. But I'd like, you know, people need to know this. But anyway, so Big Daddy government made us the creditor, and since Big Daddy, since we're the creditor. There's the private side and the public side. So since we're the creditors of the nation, but they didn't tell us, they need to borrow our credit to do what they do. So since they can't come up to our door and say, hey, look, how you doing today? Oh, great, how are you? Fine. Look, you need to borrow some of your credit. Would that be okay? And you'd say, oh, sure, I have plenty. I have unlimited credit in the Treasury. And how much do you need today? And they would say, oh, gee whiz, would $100 million be okay? Yeah, sure, I got that. That's fine. And so you'd say, oh, by the way, let me just ask you, do you mind if I ask you what you're going to do with this money? And they'd say, oh, we're just going to go start a war over here. Is it okay? And you wouldn't agree to it.
Exactly.
So they can't come up to our door and ask us nice that they want to borrow our credit. So they have to scare the holy living crap out of everybody to do it.
Yes.
And make them complicit in the crimes, get their own volunteer consent under this condescending, contemptuous, persecuting nature that you did something wrong and you're guilty before you're proven innocent, that you're a bad boy, and if you're not a good girl, you won't get a Christmas present.
Tommy, I do have to go because we only have a couple of minutes and I have to close the show, but I thank you so much for calling and for your input, because you're describing exactly what I know is going on and you're giving more substance to it.
Do you have another way to chat with you, or contact?
Well, my email, ejudgeeve, that's JUDGEEVE 79.
Right. Wait a minute.
Start
over, please.
Yes. E-E, Judge Eve.
Yes.
And 79 at gmail.com.
79?
Correct. At gmail.com. And thank you so much, Tommy. Yes. I'm being rushed on because they have to close the show and I have to give them time to do so. So thank you so much for calling
in. Thank you.
Informing people, because information is power, knowledge is power, and that's the way we do it. And you have a great day, and thank you again. Hello, I'm so glad actually that Tommy called, because he's describing the situation that I've been reading about for so many years and really describing what's going on in our country. And I'm sure it's going on in other countries, like the Rothschilds, who apparently are worth approximately $440 trillion. These are the people who decide the wars in the world, the people who cause all kinds of problems just for their own personal gain. And I know that part of my job is to expose it all and to wrest it out of their hands. I want to thank you all so much for being with me today. I look forward for the future. Next time, May 19th, we're going to have Nikki Van Valkenburg on. She has a special machine to help with ADHD children and possibly with post-traumatic stress syndrome. So I think you all enjoy hearing her. Thank you. Have a great day. And bye-bye now. Hevenu shalom aleichem, hevenu shalom aleichem, hevenu shalom aleichem, hevenu shalom, shalom, shalom aleichem, hevenu shalom aleichem, hevenu shalom aleichem, hevenu shalom aleichem, hevenu shalom, shalom, shalom aleichem. Hevenu shalom, shalom, shalom aleichem.